Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Fellas, welcome back.
Donnie.
How are you guys?
Good. Not sore at all.
No?
No. No. Yeah. I was at the ballpark all weekend and not sore one bit.
That sounds like a good weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Dino, how are you doing?
Good. I remember what my yard looks like.
Oh.
So it's been about a blur here for the last month and a half. So it's good to be home. But it was great. It was a great weekend of ball. Saw some good things on the U23 side at the Grand Slam and saw some great things on the men's side. Good to catch up with a few guys we played with and against over the years.
Yeah, admittedly, it was really nice to see everybody back out, especially at that park, playing that level of ball. Lots of good crowds. The gardens were awesome. I think we talked offline, Dino. I think the Pirates may have won the record at the beer gardens a couple times. So that's, I mean, didn't get a medal, but we did well in the gardens, which is I guess you're taking away anything. That's a good one.
Is there a direct correlation there, you think? Or?
Well, I don't think so, but I guess maybe we ought to look at the other.
Usually the team that performs well in the gardens doesn't get a medal.
Well, right? the bigger win we got, let everyone know, I want to say it was on Friday night. The fellas went through 7 flats, which I thought was a record. And then I think Sunday after we lost out, I think we beat that record, but we had already lost that. So that one doesn't matter. But maybe you're right. Maybe we ought to pump the brakes a bit. We're not kids anymore, you know?
Yep. Well, and you guys had a tough one. I mean, that game against Souk, you guys had that. It was one, right?
Yeah.
It was a done deal. And unfortunately, the error happened. And it unfortunately happened right in the meat of their order, right? So... And no disrespect to you guys at all, but that the home run that Mason hit is the first ball that's gone over both fences, the new fence for the parking lot at BVI. That's the very first ball they've seen go over that fence too. So
good. Well, I'm glad we can be part of that history.
Yeah. So you set another record.
Good. I will say this: the Pirates. I thought we showed well. 2 losses, both on walk-offs. There is no worse way in the world to lose a game. And then a walk off, and then the semifinals against Bear Creek, the finality of it, that's it, you're done. It was pretty tough for sure. So,
I would say there is one way, Donnie, that's worse. And was it a junior game, Dean? It was a senior game? It was Bear Creek against Souk, and they hit Mason with bases loaded.
Oh yeah. Both of them too. I saw him after. I said, tough way to get a game winning RBI.
That's a tough walk off, hey?
Yeah.
You're going to get hit. And then, game over. That was tough.
Yeah, the tough thing with lineups like that, like all those guys, lots of good hitters, you can't afford to give them extra outs. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's what we did. Yeah. The Bear Creek game was well played. It was back and forth. And we scored an extras and they scored 2, and that was her. It was a tough one for sure. Yeah. But congrats to the Angels who played really well. Devo and Zippy both threw lights out. Their pickups hit the ball. They got top hitter, top pitcher. So the Angels did well. Souk, another second place finish. I think they've got second 4 years in a row now. So that's some good ball players, and it was good to see everybody back out. I don't envy Stewart and all the staff to have to try and pick these other spots. A lot of guys showed really well. And anyone you pick, you're going to end up with a pretty good club. So Canada looks like they're in pretty good hands. Dino, what about on the U23 side? How'd it look?
Well, there's great games. I mean, there's, you know, even just starting at the, you know, with the 3 teams that didn't make the playoffs, I think it was Team Alberta, like they were the U19. So they were, you know, younger. So knowing that going in, I don't know if that was, you know, where they kind of were thinking they were going to finish, but I thought they showed really well, you know, for a young crew. And then like there was the Redmen and the Thunder from Manitoba. They pushed, I think there was a game against Newfoundland. I think they ended up losing 2-1, but that was a real important game for Newfoundland.
Well, they were
the standings and how everything. Yeah.
Yeah. They were up 1-0 in the 7th. They were 2 hitting them. And then they put a guy on and double and game over.
Yeah, so I mean, there was great games, and I think all the teams played well. And it was, it was good and bad that the Diamondbacks ended up having to play Delisle, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, the crowd was packed. You just know somebody's going to end up on the losing end. And then, you know, it probably would have been nicer if that would have been closer to the end, you know, either the final or semi or something like that would have been nice. But that's more just for the fans and the park and all that. But I don't know. Ontario showed it pretty much throughout the week that they were, I think they got upset by Delisle the very first game for them of the tournament. And then other than that, they rolled. So, yeah, some great things to see for sure.
We were the game they had against the Newfies, the extra inning game was a little bit weird. Like it, I mean, it was
14-10.
It started out like, oh, this is going to be a tight one. And then all of a sudden it was like they were shooting on empty nets. Like it was, there was lots of hits and, it was crazy. So,
Johnny Hill was funny to sit with. He was right next to us during that one. Yeah. So he was going off, you know, and they were down three, right. Going into the final inning. Everybody's kind of like, you know, well, what do you think? I don't think you can ever count the Noose out.
Never.
No. Right. And that just goes to show that, you know, like Ontario found different ways to win, right? Like, you know, arguably, yes or no, depending on which side you're looking at. Mannion had a great week and he was one of the top throwers, yet
that's a lot of runs to give up. Yeah.
That's a lot of runs to give up.
But even in that game, and I mean it was the same thing against when Huddy was pitching with Saskatoon. Like they gave up runs, but there were times in that game, in both games, you know, throughout the week that they came out of a really big situation. Like, man, you give up 10 runs, but it was like there was some key, you know, otherwise Newfoundland walks away with that in the bottom of the seventh. Like there was, I think, a guy on third, not out or something like that. Like it was it was really, really tight. I mean, one error, one pass ball, one anything, that game's over. But they found a way to kind of take it into extras, and then they scored a bunch. But
yeah, it was crazy.
You know what I found was a little,
what did you find?
A little weird. Pitching. So I don't know where this is coming from, but I see pitchers, like not everybody, of course, but I see pitchers putting that back foot in behind their front leg. And, you know, we obviously were sitting with a lot of umpires this weekend, and outside the chute was a constant, you know, I don't think they even hit it as hard as they could have. You know, I'm a pitcher, so I don't, you know, I don't want that stuff happening, but you could see them, the back foot, like when you tuck it around, the only way to go is out to the side, right? Mm-hmm. When you come through, and it's just, it's odd to me. I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know, you know, guys, they get back into that, you know, they get their weight shifted back, and I like to see their feet a little bit, you know, closer to shoulder width apart, right? Way your momentum's going straight back, straight forward, as opposed to out to the side. But I don't know. Again, it's just, you see a lot of that stuff happening.
So what do you think they're trying to do? Are they trying to get out farther? You know, I would think that if you push, you know, kind of off to the side a bit, you get maybe going out farther. I don't know. Like as a hitter, you're right. I think it's tough enough that I think you got to keep him in the chute. I mean, you got, you know, if, and I'm not picking on Zippy, but we know that he's had some before. So, you know, he made the adjustment, right? But it was really tough as a lefty hitting off Zippy because he was letting go of the ball and he was almost behind you, you know, like in a straight line. And that's really tough when you know, like Dewey Dyke used to do that, right? He's crossfire coming, you know, the other way. And it's really tough as a hitter. So does that have anything to do with it?
Maybe it is. That's what I mean. I don't know if it's a negative or a positive, but I know rules wise, I mean, you're going to have issues. The other thing was, is I saw a lot of these guys when they got called or warned, they're in the middle of the plate.
Yeah.
Like the easy fix is just move over 6 to 8 inches.
Right.
Right. Like that's, but I mean, that was happening on the young side, the men's side as well. And I don't know.
That would be just a little transition that we're seeing. That'd be a question for Brewster. Biomechanically, how are you going to throw the ball harder?
Right.
So do you think it's more about deception and hiding the ball, or is it, they think it's a, so what you're saying, Dean, is a right-handed pitcher has their back foot pointed to the line, basically, between home and first, and they jump sort of towards that line and then back to the middle. They come out of the outside where the chute is, or like the plate, and go back in.
Yeah, they're like a right-handed pitcher's on the first base side. They're outside the chute on that side, right? But I'm just saying, I don't know why that's happening. Like, I'm wondering if, like, the ones that are doing that, every single one of them seems to have their foot, like their back weight foot on the mound. Like when they're, it's on the other side, it's behind their front foot, as opposed to being, you know, more shoulder width apart. It's tucked in behind. And I mean, you can even see them. They look like they're trying to surf, like balance wise. Right. And, you know, it's, I don't know. It's and odd to me, but.
If they had to toe up, they'd never be able to be in that stance.
Right.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness they don't have to do that.
Well, Tosh, maybe we'll try that next time we have to throw 1,000 pitches. Maybe we'll slip her sideways a bit and see if it gives us.
Well, you know what, Donnie? I've said this before. Just back them up to like 50 feet and let them run from second base if they want. You know, really? Triple jump. That's what it's turned into now anyways. Cheaters.
Well, I know that we were told at the beginning
it was good.
They were going to watch a pause and being outside the chute, and in all the six games we played, we didn't see one call for either side. Yeah. I'm sure there were some.
Well, you know,
but no one.
I think
no one's pausing.
At the WBSC, there's not going to be warnings.
Right.
It's just automatic, right? So, you know, that's got to play into who Team Canada is going to pick, right?
People are going to be able. So, do you think do you think that the day is coming where they do like NCAA and they mark the chute?
They are. I have some inside info on that.
Okay, so if they do that, obviously it's going to be easier for the umpires because everybody in the park will see they're outside the chute.
Yeah,
that's an easy call. But it also puts more pressure on the umpires because now they have to get involved.
Right.
So. It's twofold, right? So Donnie, you said it. They were gonna look at pause. They were gonna look outside the chute. Dino mentioned they didn't do a lot of calls, which as a player, that's what you want, right?
Yeah.
You want Blue just call balls and strikes, safes and outs, and not have to get into that. That's better for the game, and we've had that forever with legal pitches. But now, if you do that, if you put the chute lines there, the umpires have to get involved. But then the onus has to go back onto the pitchers, I suppose, too. Right?
Well, it'll be some instant feed. I mean, they can see where their feet land, right? I mean, if you have a line there, so it'll be pretty. But I think it's coming by the sound.
So will it be like Colin Abbott, and they'll kick out the back line of the box when they're doing their warm-ups? Or how does that work?
Yeah, those lines won't last long. Yeah.
No.
They'll sure look good for the first inning.
Yeah.
But they won't be there very long.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So who did you see at the park? Who'd you see at the park this weekend?
Who did I see at the park? Who I missed at the park? And I know he listens to this once in a while, and I sent him a text. Robbie Ginter was at the park. He said he was there, but I never saw him. So I sent him a text because Eatsy said he was coming, and I didn't see him. And that was too bad. I would have loved to have seen him. Obviously the national team staff guys. It was good seeing all those guys. And Kevin Quinn was there. I haven't seen Kevin forever. Mm-hmm. Now that he's not more, and it was good. I mean, it was really cool. Had a discussions with Hilly and some of those guys after. You know, you don't get to see those guys as much anymore, and so some great chats there. But it was good. And you know what? There was a lot of the old usual suspects that you see at the park when you have events like that, right? Like, got to see Duke, haven't seen him unless he's at the park. You know, the people that you don't see unless you see him at the park, they were all out, which is really cool.
It was good to catch up with Jimmy Kleinhanger.
Yeah, Jimmy, haven't seen him forever.
My guts are still sore.
Yeah.
He came up in the booth there.
Yeah. You should go on the road.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. And Gino, I turned into a 12-year-old kid again. So Gino. That was awesome. And Donnie, he did say he's going to come on the podcast with us.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gino McWillie. So that was
Okay. So Dino's not going to say this, so I'll say it. So we're talking to Gino, and you know, we're talking, swapping old stories, and we feel bad. And if Gino's listening to this, we feel bad because you were on your way to the washroom.
Yeah,
and stopped you. So you're probably standing there going, "Fellas, I got to go."
I gotta go.
But we were talking to him. It was really neat. It was kind of cool because Gene walks up as we're talking to Weeb. So we're kind of around greatness there, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, we start talking to Gino about, you know, different times, and I've had two at bats, and I've said it before on here that I foul tipped one at bat off him. He struck me out. And then I did get a hit my second at bat, but he broke my bat in half. And that was in Melford.
That was legendary.
Right. And Dino talked about how he, you know, he hit a home run off him, whatever. Well, Gino comes. So we talk about all this stuff, and you could, one of those things where it's like, okay, did he remember that stuff or not remember that or whatever? Mm-hmm. He comes out of the can, and on his way back, he points at us. He looks at me, he goes, "I do remember your hit, and I remember your one-handed home run, and it pissed me off."
Yeah. Actually, he said it almost. Yeah, he goes, because he said something about, well, you know, memories is what it is. And I mean, my memory is what it is. But I remember when he said it, he said, he said, "You kind of pissed me off because you one-handed one." He goes, "And it almost went out," is what he said.
Yeah.
And in my brain, I'm like, "Hey, Gino, it went out, bud." And I was like, I was like so excited. Yeah. So I had to tell him.
Well, I mean, I guess, first of all, can't wait to get this guy on.
But and the part too is, if he did remember it, that's awesome. If he didn't remember it, he made a point of telling us he remembered it. And like Dean said, I turned into a 12-year-old right there. It was like, oh my God, he remembered my hit.
It was fun, awesome. Fun to get him on and talk about some of the old days. And they had that coaching thing that was pretty good.
How'd that go? I knew I probably wasn't gonna get anything out of it, so, but how did it go?
It was good. We all it really wasn't anything other than just everybody kind of giving their stories, and then you know, a few questions here and there. And the funny thing was, is we were all supposed to kind of talk for 3 minutes, so Pale, after he was done, he was about 20 minutes. I think everybody had 30 seconds left after he was done.
Well, he's a legend, man.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know what? He was talking about some of the old, you know, like the pro league back in the day and playing there. And I didn't know a lot of that stuff about him either. I knew he played, of course, but I know him as a coach, you know? And, so it was kind of cool to see how he got his start and all that stuff too.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It was good. Really good. Cool. Great weekend.
How about you, Donnie? What are some of your favorite moments outside of you guys crushing it in the beer garden?
Well, you know, honestly, it was just good to be back on the diamond with the guys, playing a high level tournament. Lots of good memories. Of course, the two walk offs are terrible, but you know, I think pretty proud of the guys we had in the pool. Braden, Keegan Arcan, and Corey Jones, I think they showed really well. I think it was an opportunity for them to make a bit of a statement, and I think they did well. I don't envy, like I said earlier, I don't envy the coaching staff because they got a lot to go through. It was really good. I guess the best moment, I might give it to Corey Jones. We were up on Bear Creek in the semis, and they kind of chipped away and took the lead, and we needed a big hit in the seventh, and Jones hit a mooner. He hit a couple all week. Like, he hit the ball hard all week, and it was a big one. Brought us right back. He's clutch. I love Jones. Keegan and Braden both did well. Patty Burns, he throws hard. We were right there. Obviously, it's tough. The outcome we didn't want, but the plans are already in place for next year. And you know, knowing that Zip comes with us to ISCs and he threw really well for the Angels, it was good. And no better place to play that tournament. I think the cause and the guys, the Diamonds looked awesome. The smoker at the beer gardens was fantastic. I'll get into that in my parting shots. Lots of fans, lots of faces. It was really good. Really good accommodations, really good tournament, fantastic event. It's too bad that it kind of all got jammed into the last month of the year, because I think that's all we could do. But I think Softball Canada and Saskatoon did a fantastic job of organizing, keeping it on time, and the Diamonds looked fantastic. So it was great. Just a rough way to end it for us, for sure.
For sure. Teams, boys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Changing gears here. So I had the camps. They're all done. Team selections are done. All the phone calls are out. You know, and we've got, for those that are listening that just came up a little bit short this year, and sent out emails for us looking for feedback. Those emails are coming. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, really, really happy with obviously the turnout being up that many kids. But it's one of the best things in coaching when I always say that when you can call somebody and tell them that they've succeeded in a goal, it's pretty cool. There were some neat reactions. Was it Newman? Mm-hmm. Newman had the cake. They made cake. Yeah. Congratulations on making the twos or whatever it was. And
yeah,
there was just some great reactions and getting lots of feedback from parents saying, she was so excited to make the teams. And it's awesome. And then on the flip side, it's tough because I know there's some players that, didn't make it this year. But we've said it before. It's not making it this year. And if you're, in that younger age group, just a little more work or, whatever it happens to be, it's not, doesn't define you as a player.
Well, sometimes they can still be, talent-wise, there's lots of people that still could have been there. It's just when you put the rosters together, you can't have 8 shortstops or you can't have, mm-hmm. 8 mm-hmm. outfielders or whatever it is.
Right.
That's the hard part about making those final calls. It was, mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought it went smoother for us though, on the backside of it. I thought than last year, as far as, trying to.
Well, and I think too, the system that you dreamed up there, I think is our new system as far as keeping track of all that stuff. And we won't get into that cause it's kind of boring, but, but it was good. But on another point on that, you can't have 8 shortstops. What I was really happy with is the reception of the parents and players to take on a different role. They were mm-hmm. They were like, yeah, they understand the process. And they said, yeah, I might not be a shortstop on this team. I might have to play third base. I might have to play outfield. And I'm okay with that because I get to develop. And it doesn't mean you'll never be a shortstop. It just means that for now,
for this roster, this tournament,
it doesn't mean you don't get to take some reps at short or anything like that. It could happen. And especially at the younger ages, right?
Yeah.
Things happen so fast and change, So, yeah.
On that note, you don't have to get into too many specifics, but how many calls did you guys make each? Just a ballpark.
Lots.
Yeah. How's your unlimited plans on your cells, boys? You must have chewed through some minutes.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? The calls were really cool. And as it got later in the week, I kept saying too, because the process is this. Everybody feels sometimes, and we've talked about this, where top players get the first calls. That's not always the case though, because there's some returning kids that didn't get calls until Thursday because we had to wait to see. We knew they were going to get a call. We knew they were probably going to be in a tournament. We just thought instead of calling and saying, hey, we're offering you this down the road, if people said yes, no, whatever it happens to be, you might get 2 or 3 tournaments. So we had to wait for all that to shake out. And I know people appreciate the process and the puzzle pieces that go together, but I did. And I said it over and over. It was like, you know what? I wish we could send everybody a text and say on Tuesday, don't panic. It's coming, mm-hmm. but it's not coming till Thursday, because there were some people that got a call that, you're surprised that they're thinking, oh, we didn't think we were getting a call. When in our minds, we're like, well, of course you're getting a call, but
yeah.
So that was something I had to explain. So the calls actually later in the week were longer calls than the ones earlier in the week. If that makes sense,
It makes sense to me, Tosh. So what's next then for the group and for you guys, and how's it planning out, and what are we doing next?
Well, first practice weekend this weekend coming up.
This weekend, yeah.
So that'll be 3-day weekend. Getting everybody together and
mm-hmm. Our practice is going to look a little different this year than last year. Obviously, you want to walk through that.
Well, I think it's going to look different as of right now, because we can have unlimited players on the floor together.
Right.
So who knows what happens as we move through COVID and what we're doing now. And it's all up in the air as far as how that looks. But yeah, I mean, the practices, for instance, this weekend, we have more floor space. We have more opportunity to, you know, Friday night is going to be kind of the first throw around or whatever you want to say in each practice group. So we get an opportunity to split them by position. So the innies will be working together, the outies will be working together, catchers, pitchers, and there'll be lots of space. And we're going to go through, especially for the younger ones, the newer ones to the program, go through what we do. These are some of our key drills. These are some of the key mechanical things that we're working on, that, you know, and that's a Friday night just to get them together and get them to meet each other and get to know names and all that good stuff. Saturday, parents. I think, yeah, parents get to see, yeah, what's going on. Saturday is a busy, busy day because there's some kids that are doing strength and conditioning. There'll be more team concept type stuff on the turf. There's parents meetings in the later afternoon, evening. Carissa's in to do mental performance. And then Sunday we're going to run the three practices on the turf the same. And we're going to do the most funnest thing in softball, Donnie. We're going to hit.
Ugh.
So, yeah. So it's good. It's going to be a packed weekend. But I think the biggest thing is just get them introduced to how we do things. And
well, I think
the expectations.
It's big for the parents. I mean, any parents that are listening to this podcast, please, yeah, please, please get to the parent meeting.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm, like if you can at all do that, please do, because it's
yeah, a lot of information.
You know, yeah. And it's a lot to repeat over and over and over every time somebody, you know, yeah, shoots you a text or gives you a call and says, hey, I didn't make it.
And I won't name them by names.
Colburn?
But it's a usual suspects, man.
Yeah. Come always on, Colburn. Figure it out.
Yeah. Pay attention, man. Like, yeah. Wow. Yeah. But there's that. We know we're going to be missing some kids this weekend because it's Manitoba Provincials. They pushed everything back, obviously. So we're going to be missing a few of those kids. And, you know, we've scheduled some Zoom parent meetings for people that can't make it or only one parent can make it. We just want to make sure everybody's informed. But yeah, Dino's right. The more that they can be at the parent meetings in person, the more questions that can be asked. There's going to be a lot more information about the strength and conditioning program. They're invaluable to get that information out. So, but I know everybody's excited. I've had a couple people say, cause I know in Alberta, well, Donnie, you're still in Saskatchewan, but in Alberta, the mask mandate's back for indoor spaces. So I've had, can we still watch practice? Yep. You know, like nothing has really changed here. So, it'll be cool. And for a lot of the parents, it's going to be the first time they see their kids at a twos practice because they couldn't watch all year last year. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, okay. That's exciting. Getting into that then. So practice this coming weekend, practice the end of September weekend. When's the first tournament? Where? What groups are going?
October. And you're throwing me Florida dates.
Mid-October. So the first trip, I believe.
14s. 14s have a double. Yeah.
Yeah. And we leave for Florida on the 14th of October.
So.
And we're gone. Dino and I are gone till the 1st of November. And it's the 14s for one weekend, then it's the 14s and 16s, and then it's the 16s by themselves. And we're at Bartow, we're at Fort Lauderdale, and we're at Lakeland, Florida. Those are the three locations, three tournaments.
It's exciting. Yeah. It's exciting.
I know, man. And it's coming quick. Like, it's unbelievable how, you know, fast it starts to move. So.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of people we hadn't seen for a while, we saw Tosh and I saw Randy in the garden.
Yes, we were kind of greasing her a little bit.
Yeah,
her and Brielle. Saw Brielle too.
I didn't see her, but so, I heard she was there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, and I know they're busy. They're both full-time. They're both full-time healthcare workers now. And be nice to get them back into the fold, instructing and. Yeah, it's going to be good. You know what's really good, Donnie, this weekend?
Tell me.
And don't take this the wrong way, but you're not there.
Ooh,
and I don't mean that's the good thing. The good thing is somebody else is going to have to throw a little bit. Probably the guy that's sitting on this thing looking at us right now might have to turn his arm over once in a while.
Yeah. I wish you good luck, Dino. Not that you need luck pitching, but it's a marathon.
Yeah, it's, you know what, guys, I'm just glad you're experiencing it for, you know, realizing how hard pitchers have it.
What I've realized is it's really not that hard to do.
Oh, okay. I don't expect you to complain then about it.
To be fair.
I'm not complaining. I'm complaining about the number of pitches. Oh, sure, it'd be like being the only pitcher on a team. After a while, you do complain if you're the only guy. You want some help.
Yeah. Sure. And to be fair, we're throwing it and hope, you know, we want them to hit it. You know, when you're pitching the game, you're trying to avoid them from hitting it. So
that's a real thing.
Yeah. So Tosh and I are just getting into a rhythm and just throwing world-class dippers and it's there it is. But we're not throwing in changeups. We're not throwing rise balls. We're not. Admittedly, we did try to go to spots here and there when an instructor asked us, hey, let's see what she does on her hands or whatever. But for the most part, we're living, breathing jugs machines. And
that's true.
However, at the end of the day, that's a lot of reps. So I'm glad you brought it up because I love coming to those things. I love throwing. But it is my anniversary this weekend, and I'm taking my beautiful wife away to Banff. I will be available for everything else. I've already put it on the schedule. That includes if you need an instructor to come down to Florida. I sure do like Florida. They have great oranges there. And
you got to figure all that stuff out, man.
I know. There's lots of stuff going on. Yep.
Yeah, so
cool. I just want to talk quickly here about winter training before we get rolling here. Winter training, everybody hopefully knows, is we had winter training in Moose Jaw since we began in 2014. This was the first year we'd actually decided to move it into Regina. We had such, Regina filled up so quickly that we're actually going back. We're going to add Moose Jaw again. So a lot of the Moose Jaw kids that were signed up for Regina have now shifted over back to Moose Jaw again. So that's kind of a neat thing. So Regina's full, Saskatoon is full. I keep getting texts and calls. But if you still want to get in, you can still register and get put on the wait list, and we'll try to get you in, providing we get cancellations or room opens up or whatever. So, but just texting us isn't going to do it. You're going to have to register so that we get you on there and you get put in a spot on the wait list. That's the best way to do that. Some other news, Brandon, we will be having winter training in Brandon. It's coming. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned to that, people. There's going to be some information come across. We're just in the process of putting some dates together now. So hopefully providing everything kind of keeps rolling on the COVID side the way we hope, that's going to be moving forward. And the only other spots would be Edmonton that we still have some room. Not a lot, but there is some room in Edmonton if you're looking to get your kids in winter training. So yeah, that's kind of a little bit of a blast on our.
When does winter training start? Do you know?
It starts obviously different days. We've got a lot of different locations, but October, beginning of October, and runs right through to December. So that's kind of the thoughts there. And also, I know we've said it a few times. I don't know if we've actually said it on the podcast, but. What was so awesome about this weekend, because it was a men's tournament and U23 tournament on the boys men's side, there was so much talk about boys ball, like at the coaches meeting, talking about young boys, getting involved and, seeing so many of them running around the park, that was awesome. And something's coming, guys. Like, we're definitely going to do everything we can on the training side for the boys. It's in the works. Obviously you got to understand that, training through this time is, trying to plan something that's brand new is interesting. Right. So, we're coming, we're going to have something for the boys. We're really excited about it. Cross Lake, Tosh, was another, conversation that's going to be had. We could be heading up to Cross Lake, to do some training there. Yeah. And, 28 boys teams they have up there. 28 boys teams.
That's crazy.
So, I think awesome. There's things happening and people are, there's some key administrators and people that know the need for, trying to rattle some cages with the boys program, and we're going to do everything that we can to help in that. So that was kind of exciting as well.
28.
That's a lot.
Wow. That is alarming, actually. That's great news.
So, yeah.
Yep. Awesome.
Exciting.
Well, boys, we're doing a short one today, just an update, let everyone know how Rawlings went, how winter training starts, and the teams. Do you want to get into shots?
Sure.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I never go first. This is great. I have a two-parter here. You brought up Sean Coburn earlier. So I saw him in the Gardens. We had a good chat. This is an insider a bit, though. So if Coburn is listening, and I know he is, there was an incident between when he was playing with Delisle and I was with the Dodgers. We were in Abbotsford. I'm not going to get into the details, but there was a dog incident. Okay.
I was at the Gardens when you were. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. So there was a dog incident, and Coburn took matters into his own hands a little bit, and it is what it is. And then, of course, this weekend, just after we see Randy, who's holding this new puppy, and there's a couple dogs in the Gardens, and I look back at Coburn, and then I'll just hear some dog growling, and I'm like, oh, here we go again. Coburn, maybe avoid the Gardens and dogs. It's a bad combo for you. Bad. So that's for you, Coburn. But my shot of, I guess it's praise, goes to Razor. Razor is there, man in the Traeger, or whatever it was called, the grill. The smoked ribs were unreal, big hit. And so the fellas were in there one night on the first night we broke the record. Didn't plan on staying there very long, and it turned into an all-night shift. Razor, without being prompted, brought over stacks of ribs and pulled pork and fries for the fellas. I gotta say, it was probably $100 for the food Razor brought over on his own dime.
Oh, wow.
Fed the fellas. And of course, out of that, though, I think the fellas probably bought five times that amount throughout. But the food there was awesome. Razor was a great host. I would let Razor host my dinner party any day. Great roomie, great catcher, Razor. That's my shot. It's a pat on the back. I know.
Wow.
Yeah. So there it is.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice.
All right.
Pretty good shot.
Tosh?
I you know what? I'll go. I really don't have any. Like it was such a good weekend. You know, to go to the park and just hang out and watch. I did talk Mike Brancho. It was funny because I kind of took a shot, not at him directly. I didn't mention any names, but when Masters, well, no, I didn't, but I did now. But I told him about this. The Masters weren't selected because of, you know, whatever, and I took that shot. But we talked about it, and he knew I was talking about him. But but he's also agreed that we should, you know, or get him on here too and talk about the program and what's moving forward. But so it's not really a shot. I think it's more of a hats off to Cause and his group. Hats off to Softball Canada. Hats off to Rawlings for sponsoring. What a great event. The format itself for you guys, Dino, the coaching staffs for the senior and the junior team was probably the best it could have been. You got to see all the players in order to make your selections for your qualifiers coming up. So no shot at all. I think it was just a well-run weekend, and it was a lot of fun to be around and see a lot of people that we haven't seen around the park in a while.
Exactly.
All right, Dino, wrap it up.
Okay, well, my parting shot. Umpires.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
All the umpires. You think this is going to be negative, right? Yeah.
Nope. I'm waiting on the edge of my seat, though.
I want to thank the umpires because I was in their back pocket all weekend. Gary and Davey and Brendan and the rest of the people. I was asking people all sorts of questions this weekend, and they are either watching the umpires there, and we were obviously in the same area, so I got to kind of sit and take some unique perspective on the umpiring side, and even better my knowledge as far as there was, you know, something that's really simple like fair or foul balls, like there was all sorts of weird little things that happened that got us some good conversation, and hopefully at the end of the day I got a little bit smarter. So thank you to the umpires. It was fabulous. I thought they did a great job, and sometimes they don't get praised, but I thought they did fantastic, and
yeah,
it was good crew.
I did talk to Brent Chadwick. His jaw has recovered, he said, so that's good. I saw him too. Yeah, poor Brent. That's good. Awesome. All right.
Good job, boys.
Nice quick one today, boys. Real quick one today. Yeah. So on to practice. Going to be a great weekend, and away we go.
Good luck this weekend, boys.
Donald.
Thank you very much.
Happy anniversary, buddy.
Enjoy your weekend.
Have fun in Banff, your weekend off, and ice the arm because you're going to be throwing a lot 2 weeks from now.
Might hit that hot spring and get some therapy in there while I'm there, you know?
Amen, brother. Amen.
All right, boys.
Say goodnight, Donnie.
Good night, fellas.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloydminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.